Priyanka Srila Bhagavatam, 11th Canada, Chapter 2, Text 55, Rajni Nityananda Dhamma. Srivadi, Vili, Hidaya, Daha, Na, Neva, Yasya, Asum, Sakshat, Himself, Hari, Lord Hari, Avasha, Accidentally, Abhihita, Halt, Api, even though, Aga, of sins, Oga, heaps, Nasha, who destroys, Samaya, of love, Rasamaya, Kairos, Rita, health, Angri Padma, his lotus feet, Sa, in he, Ravati, is Bhagavata Pradana, the formless devotee, Ukta, called. Translation interpreted by the philosopher, Sister Bhangra Shivravati. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind to the conditioned souls that if they call upon him by speaking his holy name, even in unintentionally or unwillingly, the Lord is inclined to cause numerous reactions in their hearts. Therefore, when a devotee who has taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet chants the holy name of Krishna with genuine love, the Supreme Personality of Godhead can never give up the heart of such a devotee. One who has thus captured the Supreme Lord within his heart is to be known as Bhagavat Pradhan, the most exalted devotee of the Lord. Purpose. According to Srila Swami, the essence of a pure devotee's qualifications is given in this verse. A pure devotee is one who has attracted the Lord by his love so that the Lord cannot give up the devotee's heart. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the word sakshat in this verse indicates that a pure devotee has realized knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, having given his heart to the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is all attractive in six opulences, including beauty. A pure devotee can never be attracted by the flashy bags of a woman's dress or by the hallucination of so-called society, friendship, and love within the material world. Therefore, his clean heart becomes a suitable abode for the Supreme Lord. A gentleman will live only in a clean place. He will not live in a polluted, contaminated place. Educated people in the Western countries are now greatly protesting the pollution of water and air with urban industrial enterprises. People are demanding the right to live in a clean place. Similarly, Lord Krishna is a supreme gentleman, and therefore he will not live in a polluted heart, nor will he appear within the polluted mind of a conditioned soul. When a devotee surrenders to Lord Krishna and becomes a lover of the Lord by direct realization of Krishna's all-attractive nature, the Lord makes his residence in the clean heart and mind of a pure devotee, of such a pure devotee. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the Ekadasha Pranadyavamstinana Sisavada Parama Pashti Naiva Kirtyamana Sutaram Ivam Iva Goga Nashasyat. If a devotee is absorbed in the loving transcendental service of Krishna, directly or indirectly, he is always glorifying the Lord by transcendental loving service. Therefore, even if he chants the holy name of Krishna with improper attention due to being absorbed in the Lord's service, The mercy of the Lord purifies his heart of all sinful reactions, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.11. Itamya vidya manana nishatam kutipopayam yoginam nipanya nitam hariyanam kirtanam. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the way of the great authorities is a doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from material desires, those who desire all material enjoyment, also those who are self-satisfied but this of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, if one who has not counted the platform of loving devotion and service chants the holy name of Krishna, he will also be gradually free from all sinful reactions. In the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the purpose of the history of Ajami, Srila Prabhupada has elaborately explained the holy name's potency to purify even an ordinary person. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has nicely explained the process of bringing the Supreme Lord under control. Mother Yashoda bound the child Krishna to a grinding mortar under the road. Krishna, being attracted by the inconceivable love of his devotees, allowed himself to be bound. Therefore, although Lord Krishna binds all the conditioned souls by chains of the illusionary potency Maya, as those same conditioned souls become pure devotees of the Lord, they can in turn bind Krishna for the chains of love of God. According to Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, all the world's inauspicious conditions due to sinful activities can be immediately eradicated by the chanting of the Lord's holy name. The Supreme Personality of Godhead never leaves the heart of those who give up all sinful behavior and chant his holy name. Even if such chanting is not perfect, devotees who obviously remain in the Lord's service will gradually come to the stage of prema nishtha, of steady love of Godhead. Then they are to be considered mahabhagavatas, of pure devotees of the Lord. Thus, in the purpose of the humble service of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the second step of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Marachanini, meets the nine Yugandhas. Can I ask you to drink?
Yep.
I read the translation again. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind to the conditioned souls that as they call upon Him by speaking His holy name, even unintentionally, unwillingly, the Lord is inclined to destroy innumerable sinful reactions in their heart. Therefore, when a devotee has taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, chants the holy name of Krishna with genuine love, the Supreme Personality of Godhead can never give up the heart of such a devotee. One who has thus captured the Supreme Lord within his heart is to be known as the Bhagavad Pradhan, the most exalted devotee of the Lord. So that's a very, very wonderful verse and a very wonderful purport. And then the purport is explained that this verse actually is the essence of a pure devotee's qualification. So it directly describes it. And then it says in the purport that when a devotee who has taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet chants the holy name of Krishna with genuine love, the Supreme Personality of Godhead can never give up the heart of such a devotee. So now we can very clearly see at the conclusion of this chapter, in which the different levels of the devotees have been described, it's been very elaborately explained about the Mahabhagavat, the Madhyamadhikari and the Kanishthadhikari, the qualifications, the symptoms, what they're doing, so we have heard a lot about that. So this verse is the last verse of the second chapter, we're going to start afterwards the third one. And it gives a summary of everything, what has been described. So the conclusion of it is that just by chanting the holy name, In the seven rivers, even unintentionally or unwillingly, one attains this purification. And it says that once one has, when one chants the holy name of the Lord in pure love, that Krishna is tied to that heart of the devotee, as Mother Yashoda tied Krishna to the grinding water with the Lord. So it's, it shows, basically it shows the essence of our Hare Krishna movement. Because we are in the Hare Krishna movement, we are not dependent on doing so many purificatory processes, we are not dependent on atonement, we are not dependent on doing yajnas or like severe austerities or renouncing everything and undergoing so many things for purifying ourselves. The process of the Krishna consciousness movement is very simple. It's to chant the holy name of the Lord. And it's been stressed throughout all the scriptures. So the wonderful thing of the Hare Krishna, of Krishna consciousness, is that we are actually being helped. It's not that that Krishna throws us in the material world and lets us struggle here and everything, but because it's about personalism. Because it's a philosophy about personalism. The relationship we have with Krishna is personal. So we get personal help from him. So that's this great difference between us, who are so fortunate to be helped by the Supreme Lord, and other classes of philosophy who struggle all the way alone. And the result of their activities is very doubtful. Because you can see that Srila Prabhupada so many times explained throughout Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and all the other scriptures, that the success of the yogis, of the jnanis, of the kamis, and so on, it's very doubtful that they actually attain the platform. But we have the assurance all throughout the scriptures that Krishna says that he's going to look after us. And even if we do something stupid, if we fall down for a while, still, because we have been serving Krishna, he will never forget us. And he has said that if the devotee chants one time with his love in the heart, the Lord will never ever leave the heart of such a devotee. So that's a very, very wonderful aspect of our philosophy, and I think it's so important to always remember that. So it's now to explain in this verse what makes the devotee so exalted. And after speaking about the Prakrita, the Kaneshadhikari, the Vajramadhikari, and the Mahabhagavat, it is said very clearly that actually chanting brings us right on the highest platform. Because, and it's also explained why, because first of all, the chanting makes the heart a suitable place for the Lord to stay, and it traps the Lord in the heart because he is so indebted to us because of this little bit of devotion that he's been giving us. So this is basically what the chant accumulates in. And I remember when Sridhar Master was saying something really funny one time. He was saying how people call us the Hare Krishna. Apparently in Sydney they call us the Hare Bowl. Was it Sydney or Perth? They call the Hare Krishna the Hare Bowl there. And he was saying that everybody says, oh, that's the Hare Krishna, we are getting all excited. Yeah, I'm the Hare Krishna, I'm here, it's me, I'm the Hare Krishna. And then they come to chanting Hare Krishna and we start spacing out and looking everywhere and find so many interesting things to do. We can do instead of listening to what we're actually doing, we're just chanting. Like it's been several times mentioned how they were to stand in front of the notice board and chant or they read the notice board, the ladies who use the notice board, or they go around and they can see the do all these kind of things and they kind of tie up their clothes. I've even seen the devotees washing doing their washing while they chant. And Jai Pataka Maharaj, that's actually pretty tragical because Yeah, like was this quite a short time in which like several of his disciples died in a car accident, and several of them were actually chanting while they were driving the car. So it might be a quick way to get you back to Godhead, but it's doubtful how attentive they were chanting. And so Kataka Maharaj said, "I'm with you to 80 kilometers per hour." So after that, you know, you're on your own. So because they were speeding, and then they had this crash, and they passed away actually, so it's quite unfortunate. So we read in the scriptures how what actually saves us, what actually lifts us up, what makes us devotees in the chanting Hare Krishna, is that, you know, this is the sacrifice of this age. And Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, like, that he amongst the Pharisees is like, you know, the chanting of Rapa. And like throughout the scriptures it's stressed, like, I don't think there's a point being made so often as how important the chanting of Hare Krishna is. So why is it that we take it so casual? And why is it that we arrange our day and squeeze the chanting instead of arranging our day around our chanting, that we have the most attentive chanting and everything else? Secondly, this is explained that this is the most important thing. So it's quite sad actually to just look at ourselves and see how little we actually understand what Srila Prabhupada was telling us. Because, you know, you can talk about so much philosophy and can try to understand all these books, but we can't understand this one simple instruction which has been given so clearly. It's been repeated and again and again and again and again through all the scriptures. So that means that our hearing process actually is not very well developed. Because how much can we understand if we can't even understand this one thing? And apparently all understanding comes from it. One time Srila Prabhupada was mentioning that there was a devotee asking about the reading, and the devotee had problems with the reading. And Srila Prabhupada was telling him that he can just chant, because with the chanting he would understand everything he would read in the books. That's probably an instruction just particular to this person, but it was very interesting to read that, because usually it is very emphasized to read the philosophy to understand it. And we have this example, you know, with the person, with the Brahmana, who was just looking at the cover of the Bhagavad Gita, and he didn't have any kind of philosophical background as well. So it is a bit sad often to see that we as Hare Krishnas are not too sincere about chanting Hare Krishna. And I guess it is a challenge in our spiritual life to, our mind wants to go all over the place, and we want to think about so many other things, we want to do so many other things. If the austerity, what is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, that among austerity is the chanting of japa, you know, Krishna is to be found in that. So the austerity is to really kind of try to squeeze in our head how important the chanting is, and whatever else we want to do and whatever else we want to think about, that we put that aside and just trust Srila Prabhupada's words. But what else do we have? So we can see Srila Prabhupada could understand the importance of Hare Krishna. So we should have that much faith in Srila Prabhupada that we just believe in what he was saying. And eventually, after trying to give ourselves to the chanting of the Holy Name, we will understand it. We will understand this point he was making. Because we will realize that ourselves and the chanting is a constant endeavor to bring our mind back to the Holy Name. And Thakur was saying that he wishes to have millions of tongues, millions of ears. So if we never try to control our mind in such a way that we can focus on the Holy Name, we will never ever develop this attraction. You know, we might go along as devotees for so many years, and you know, we might do our service and we think we're a senior devotee or whatever, but if we never come to the point where we really decide, you know, I want to really chant Hare Krishna with attention, then we might stick around for so many years, but we'll never develop this taste for chanting the holy name, and we will actually never really come to that such a high platform. And you can see, like, you can see the devotees who are very advanced, you can see how they chant the japa. They don't leave the notice board, they don't wash the washing water, the chant. They really chant, you can see how much they try to listen to the chanting. So how do we start with it? First of all, my spiritual master was talking about it and they're saying the first thing is before we try to work on the mind, we should first of all fix our external. That means ideally we chant our rounds in one go without interruption from the first to the last chant, out of many rounds we chant, and we chant it in the same place, ideally with not like 20 devotees have conversations and like so many disturbances around. Because we can see the same thing with following the four principles. First of all, we look at the growth aspect of ourselves and try to control that, and we control the growth aspect of not intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no meat eating. If we control that, then we can work on the internal. For example, if we stop eating meat, then gradually, we endeavor more and more, we will develop this compassion for living entities. And if we stop having illicit sex, then eventually we will become very clean. We will become clean very clean instantly, and ultimately we will be able to give up this lust, which is kind of haunting us throughout our life. So firstly, we must look at our externals, because if our externals are not properly arranged, how will we be able to focus internally on it? It's not possible. And also this arranging of the external circumstances shows Krishna how much we care. That's usually what we want in a relationship, isn't it? Like a person might, we have a conversation, this person might have so many things in their mind, but they really try to listen, they really endeavor, that's actually what satisfies us. There's an exchange of love. That is what we usually want. So Krishna wants that. He wants to see how much we try for him. And if he sees how much we try, then he will come towards us and will help us. But if we don't even try, and if you're not even interested, why should he do that? Why should he help us if you're not interested? So, I was sitting up for one time talking about the connection with cooking with fire and cooking with smoke. So when we cook with smoke, as compared to the inattentive chanting, that's what I was saying, we might stick around for so many years, but we might cook a meal, but if anybody ever tried to cook with smoke, it's not very successful. It's actually a long, long time, very long time, and also the result is quite uncertain, because eventually nothing, the things are so old and they're not properly cooked. So if we don't focus on our chanting, we might even lose interest after a while in Krishna consciousness. If we keep doing offenses without trying to advance, without trying to give more to Krishna, after a while, there might be doubts coming in our mind, we might make offenses. Usually doubts come from doing offenses, especially against the holy name and against Vaishnava. So Krishna takes us, we lose our taste. It's actually in that way it's quite dangerous to just keep chanting with an offensive, not an offensive attitude, but by performing offenses, because we might just become smack on our sadhana altogether, lose our taste in Krishna consciousness, and we might even leave. Because usually in the material world there's nothing stable. Things either go up or they go down. So if you don't try to endeavor to go up, Maya might just pull us down. And also, it's not fun to just every morning get up and just just torture yourself to jump in arms where you don't really want to do it. It's much better to really try to, you know, put your heart into it and maybe struggle for a while, but at least you did something which was like satisfying, you know, you kind of struggle through it. But wow, you know, I really tried today, like even I might have been a complete rascal and I couldn't focus on one word, but at least I've tried, you know. At least that much I could do this morning. So that also gives like, you know, that gives some contentment, it gives some happiness to just have tried something before Krishna, for, you know, our spiritual life. And ultimately, if you look at chanting Hare Krishna, we don't really have anything else than doing that. You know, what are our great qualifications, you know? Anybody so intelligent to figure it all out by their own brain? And we might have some pretty clever people, and yeah, you know. But who has really this intelligence? Who has the determination to write, you know, to do all of these austerities? Who has all these qualifications to approach Krishna in any way? We don't really have anything left in Kali Yuga, you know? We're all mental, like, and I can talk about myself, and I know quite a few people, maybe not everybody, but most of us are, you know, pretty mental, all over the place, unfocused. We have such a large amount of sinful reactions we carry ourselves around. So what do we actually have? You know, we don't really have anything. The Krishna is so merciful, he accepts us if we just chant his holy name and, you know, try to be a good devotee. So it's said in this purpose, it is said that, you know, if you are full of desire, if you don't have desire, so if you have so many things going on, chanting Hare Krishna is the beginning and it's the end. So, you know, we purify our mind through it to come to the point to have a purified mind to chant Hare Krishna. So we can see in the beginning and the end is the same. We come to Krishna with, you know, an impure mind, with an impure heart, and we have to chant Hare Krishna to clear it off, because it's an impure heart and an impure mind, you can't chant Hare Krishna. But there's nothing else left than chanting Hare Krishna anyway. So we might just try to take it serious and really, you know, work on ourselves, because just by chanting Hare Krishna, it said in the verse, even unwillingly, even unintentionally, there is clear off our sinful activities and our sinful reactions. So we just can't take it serious enough. So whatever level we are on in our spiritual life, we have to constantly try to improve ourselves. Because once we come to the platform and we feel happy, there won't be any progress. And unless we're on the platform Shri Prabhupada, it means there's a lot of work to be done in ourselves. So it's a very dangerous thing to feel comfortable on the platform and your Krishna consciousness you have. Because definitely, like, you know, most of us, probably all of us, are not pure devotees. So if we think ourselves happy, that just means that we feel ourselves pretty happy in the material energy. And that means we are in ignorance. If we are in ignorance, we can't understand Krishna. So it's constantly happening, this striving for improving ourselves, and especially improving our japa. If we have this idea to come to a higher platform, we've heard about this wonderful qualities of the Mahabhagavat. We've heard how beautiful, you know, these people are, and how inspiring that to others, like Srila Prabhupada, he's accomplished so incredibly much. This quite interesting, we just came from we had a yoga retreat at the farm. It was for people, that was for Westerners, so we had people coming from Melbourne University. We've been doing the yoga club at Melbourne University. We had people coming from our from the yoga classes, from Urban Yoga. And there was, for example, one girl who came, she got, like a year ago, am book on the streets of the Kapiwara. And that was very interesting to observe because we didn't hide at all that we are Hare Krishna. They knew from the beginning, before the book, the yoga retreat, they knew basically what was going on. So we had only people who were actually interested in Hare Krishna. And it was a very, very nice group. We had a yoga retreat before where it was like kind of all that undercover, and what happened was basically that the people came there for yoga weren't interested at all and were just hanging out in the little group. So this time we had a very dynamic, very vibrant group, and they made a lot of friendships amongst each other. For example, I remember Tulsi, she was talking and one night with this girl, Sally, and Sally was talking about, it's like, you know, what's going on in life, and also Sally talked to many other people about it. That was the girl who got the book from Sukanti Rada, and she was just saying, she called me up, I wrote her an email, and I didn't know her because she was just on the email list I had. So she called me up and she was saying she was interested in coming to this retreat. This girl hasn't really done any yoga in her life before, and she was like, straight in the car, she was questioning me about like the Hare Krishna lifestyle and what we're actually doing and how long we've been here. So over the time she was just saying how unhappy she is with the friends she has and how she's been in such bad association and how it's been dragging her down. And there was other people as well, and you could see like everybody had their issues in their life and they were just trying to work through and they were looking for some shelter. And it was in a sense, it was a very intense retreat because we had all, a lot of people were really looking for something in their life. They were thinking if maybe the Hare Krishna movement could add something to their life. Because in Kali Yuga, our lives are not very happy. So, if we ourselves work on our chanting, like especially before the marathon, the book distribution marathon we have in December, if we work on our chanting and realize what we're actually doing here at Hare Krishna and what actually the sound movement is about, we will be so effective to touch other people's heart. So those people look for shelter, we're actually able to give them shelter. Srila Prabhupada has given shelter to all of us and so many people. So if we are able to transform our heart and develop these qualities of, you know, good devotees, then we can do so much in this world. But if we just stay out, do our thing, and not taking this seriously, it's actually quite selfish. Because, you know, we have been given so much from Srila Prabhupada, and then we get so much good advice, and so we are so foolish not to do anything about it. And, you know, keeping it for ourselves or not even giving it to ourselves, but also, you know, very miserly. And yeah, especially not disqualifying ourselves in that way to push on Srila Prabhupada's movement. So we should all, including myself definitely, work on our chanting and try to become better devotees and try to help Srila Prabhupada in that way. Was pretty much everything I wanted to say. Is there any comments or any questions? Any points? Oh, just, you know, people are taking drugs and, you know, they just don't. Just, you know, typical kind of yoga culture, probably, like, you know, that.
I think that she had problems with adventure group with her family and upbringing and pressures from society about, you know, what it is to live. And she had mentioned to me that she would feel that it would be selfish or frivolous to allow herself to live a spiritual life in a way because. You know, the pressures of society is that you have to go and get a job, and that's a worthwhile thing. Like that's what people.
Like working in a liquor shop or being a bus driver.
She wants to be successful at her job.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is that observing or to putting really your heart and your effort into and your soul into your work. Because then you're not, you know, it's not just a selfish luxury that you're living in a temple and that you've got, you know, you've got to really be serving and giving them, I guess.
You have to see what is actually she, what is she actually doing? What good is she actually doing? Who's benefiting from such a thing, you know? Like people always talk about like working and this and that, but who's actually benefiting from that? Nobody is really benefiting from that. The only thing which people benefit from is, you know, through transcendental knowledge. Otherwise they just keep going and struggling and then they die, you know? And who knows where they're going afterwards? That's why it's so important to have knowledge. Other people just keep doing their nonsense in their life.
I was also wondering in the chanting, as you mentioned trying to chant from your heart, but also listening to the words, like really listening to it, and that's, is that the main key to?
Yeah, it's the listening.
Because I sometimes wonder, you know, your mind goes everywhere. You know, it's kind of like,
yes, that's your mind's job.
So I read that, you know, if you're chanting, it's the vibration of it that really affects you.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
yeah.
Just keep chanting.
Yeah, just keep chanting, just listen to it. Because Krishna's name is so powerful, it will purify the mind. And there will be a stage if we, you know, keep trying every day when we are able to chant this love. Because the said, you know, what was said in the verse is that Krishna is a gentleman, he only wants to live in a clean place. So first you have to make the place nice and clean for Krishna, and then Krishna will come and can chant his love. Anything else anybody wants to say? Right. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.